Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome in to the Tighten Up Podcast on the A to Z Sports Podcast Network.
I'm Jack Gentry alongside Austin Huff. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm at Jack A. Gentry. He's at Austin Huff. We are the Tighten Up Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tighten Up Pod. Follow us on Instagram. We're at Tighten Up Podcast. And as always, make sure you're following A to Z Sports on every social media platform.
This is Sode number 209. The Buck wants you to buy a non-specialty Ford below MSRP at Two Rivers Ford of Sodes. That's a fantastic Sode title. I don't know if you've seen that video of Buck's commercial for Two Rivers Ford. But he says MSRP so many times. It makes me think he's talking about someone named Mrs. RP. It's so, look, I'm not going to clown him because he's getting that bag, but actually, yeah, I'm going to clown him a little bit. It's just MSRP, you know, and Buck's like deep, you know, gargling gravel voice. That is MSRP, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's just funny. It's funny.
If there's one thing about Buck Rising though, he's going to chase that check. And good for him on securing the bag.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. If there's money to be had, he is going to be having it.
The end of the rainbow for Buck Rising is Two Rivers Ford. That's where the pot of gold is.
He would have done that commercial in assless chaps if they asked him to, just if it meant more money.
Bad visual.
Yeah. Non-specialty Ford, below MSRP at Two Rivers Ford. And tell him the guy in the assless chaps sent you. Hey, it's me, Buck Rising, from 104.5 years old.
A little plaster Buck hybrid right
now. I know. I need to work on my Buck Rising. I feel like I could do a Buck Rising. I have to practice it. That Sode title comes to us via Andrew Moore at Andrew the Earl on Twitter. Guys, give him a follow. He's a Tupper. Let's grow the community of Tuppers by following each other. Andrew Moore at Andrew the Earl. Thank you for that Sode title. If you've got Sode titles you'd like to submit, you know how to do it at Tighten Up Pod on Twitter, or if you want to DM them to us on Instagram or in the comments on Instagram at Tighten Up Podcast there. We've got a lot to get into. It's an anniversary Sode. Derrick Henry is gone. We're coming to you a day later. Not because I had internet issues and I had a guy from Xfinity on the roof of my house yesterday fixing them. No, it's because we needed an extra day because of the Derrick Henry news. And we're going to talk free agency. We're going to talk so much. Are the Titans going to suck next year? Look, I got takes on for days when it comes to your Tennessee Titans. So before we get into any of that, let's first get a word from our friends at BetMGM.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code A to Z Sports and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only, new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. First online real money wager only. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
With all that said, let's talk Titan.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in cold prison.
What is up, Flameheads? Welcome into the Tighten Up Podcast. Today is March 14th, 2024, and Jack and I have officially reached 4 years of doing this podcast. It's been a wild ride. One, that we want to thank each and every one of you for taking the journey with, whether this is your first episode or this is your 209th episode. Thank you. Honestly, we appreciate every single one of you. You guys, we do give you all the credit in the world as being the best listening podcast fan base around, because, you know, look, we're in the grand scheme of podcasts, we're a fairly small podcast, you know, like just in terms of scope. I mean, granted, look, if there's 7 billion people on Earth, there's 10 billion podcasts in the world, and we are merely one of them. But you guys come up huge by answering the bell on so many different factors. The things that we've accomplished over these 4 years, you know, I think about getting Young Buck on the playlist at Nissan Stadium before games. I think about, you know, landing, securing some big guests. Mitch T. Firkins and Mike Keith come to mind in that order, too. I think about how we've had proof that people within the Titans front office do listen to this podcast. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has come on the podcast. Mason Kinsey has come on the podcast. Not to flex our muscles here, but it has been so much fun, and it has been a treat. Look, we give you a new sode every single week through hell, high water, or move to Chicago. They have come. And shout out to Jack and to our guy Luke Worsham for filling in for me during that move to Chicago. But we give you new episodes every single week because we like doing this, and because you guys have been so great with welcoming us and keeping that fuel inside of us going because of, you know, how much you guys react and respond to the podcast. So thank you first and foremost. Jack, I got to say to you, happy anniversary, man.
Yeah, you too. Did you get me anything?
No, but I did take something away.
Oh, no.
Of our 209 episodes on this podcast, this is our very first sode where Derek Lamar Henry Jr. is not a Tennessee Titan.
This is the time. We're ripping the Band-Aid off right here.
I mean, we can't start with anything else. Honestly, I don't know. It's hard to even celebrate 4 years based off of just the gut-wrenching news that we got earlier this week. And look, I say this knowing full well this was coming. We had a fairly good idea that this was coming. We Jack and I talked on the podcast of the previous weeks of how, like, you know, trying to dispel anything that, you know, like any rumors against the fact that Derrick Henry could re-sign with the Titans. But in our heart of hearts, we knew this was inevitable, much like Derrick Henry is inevitable. It still doesn't make it any easier. If you know, when they came out with the movie Marley and Me, it's based off of a book. We all knew the ending of Marley and Me. It didn't make watching it any easier, okay? This week has not been easy. For me, probably more than most, because I get way too in my feelings about this kind of stuff. But, Jack, I'm not happy. I feel like my pain for seeing Derrick Henry retire or go to another team, play with another franchise, hurts worse than the acquisition of any of the new free agents.
Yeah, you know, losing Derrick Henry sucks, and losing him to the Ravens sucks even more, right? Because you had the Samari role, you had Steve McNair, you had Derek Mason. It just feels like these all-pro caliber players, the Titans, and really the Titans fan base has cherished for so long, seem to always make their second stop in Baltimore. And that hurts, because that rivalry in the early 2000s when the Titans and Ravens were going at it in the Central Division, you know, that stung because the Ravens got the best of the Titans more often than not. And now it's been reignited lately with the field stomping and, mm-hmm. you know, the playoff matchups between the two, which the two sides have split most recently. And you know, it's a little more, you know, kind of like it was back then. It's heated. It's intense. It's, it's really 50-50 nowadays, but those two teams currently are trending in different directions. And, you know, the Titans are looking to build towards the future, where the Ravens are making a push to win now, because Lamar Jackson's not going to be this good for that long, or, you know, at least they won't have this amount of money to help Lamar Jackson for this long. So taking advantage of Derrick Henry, you know, on the open market was something that the Ravens had to do. And, you know, it obviously it sucks that he landed there, but if the other option was Houston, that would have probably hurt just as bad.
Well, no, it would have. I'd argue that would have hurt worse. King in someone else, like see him twice a year and have him play against you twice a year. That would have hurt, because you know, he would have probably run all over the Titans. And so, like, that, seeing the King do what we've seen him do for the last 8 years against us would absolutely suck. So I hate that he's a Raven. Don't get me wrong. I hate that he is a Raven. In fact, I'll be rooting for his personal success, but I hope the Ravens don't have any success with him. You know, everyone's like, "Oh, go get your ring, King. Go get your ring," as if like it's impossible to win a ring here. Baltimore has had as many playoff blunders, more so, twice as many as the Tennessee Titans have had over the last, you know, 10 years. So to say now he's going to get his ring. First of all, I hope he doesn't get a ring if he's not going to do it in Two Tone Blue. Is that selfish of me? Is that
no?
Like, is that look, me being like a dick? I'm still the biggest Derrick Henry fan. He's my favorite NFL player of all time, but I don't want him to win a Super Bowl not in Two Tone Blue.
Yeah, I think it's fine to support Derrick Henry, and it's fine to even root for Derrick Henry. But as a Titans fan, if you want Derrick Henry to get a ring, you know what that also comes with? The Baltimore Ravens winning a Super Bowl. And I'm sorry, but that's not cool with me. I'm not okay with that.
No, so, and you know what that comes with? And like, not only the Baltimore Ravens winning a Super Bowl, but another year where the Tennessee Titans do not win a Super Bowl. Now, look, I'm not naive to think like, oh, the Tennessee Titans are probably not going to be Super Bowl contenders next season. But like, it's still just the principle of the idea. If you're rooting for another team to get a ring, you're essentially rooting against the Titans to have any success. So screw the whole go get a ring thing. Look, I hope Derrick Henry rushes for 2,000 yards next year. I hope the Baltimore Ravens go 0-16 in him doing so. Like, that's the truth of the matter. But with that said, I am not remiss to like look back on the last 8 years that were like Derrick Henry as a Titan has given me some of my favorite memories as a Titans fan of my entire life. And I mean, I've been there since the NFL Yes campaign in 96. Okay. I remember vividly the NFL coming to Nashville. Derrick Henry has given me some of probably 9 of my top 10 favorite memories. You know, like it's just like he floods the memory bank with greatness. And it was so cool. The thing I love about Derrick Henry, Titans have had great players in the past, but none as great as Derrick Henry, because the Titans have never had a player prior to Derrick Henry. And you can rebut me if you don't agree, Jack. Titans have never had a player that was revered league-wide, where every player respected him and every fan base respected and on like was mostly likable around the league. Like, I don't think there's anyone that like hates Derrick Henry, unless you like you're a Texans fan and he ran all over your ass for 8 years.
But you still have to respect it.
Right. Like Derrick Henry is a guy that I think universally loved in the NFL. The Titans have never had that. Even like Steve McNair, for as good as he wasn't the year he should have won MVP, he won co-MVP with Peyton Manning. Like, he was not universally loved the way Derrick Henry, I think, has been and built himself to be. So the Titans have never had a player like Derrick Henry.
And the closest guys that they have had to share the spotlight with others around the league. Like Derrick Henry, the spotlight was solely on him. Like a lot of people around the league didn't know the Titans. They just knew Derrick Henry was going to get the Titans to where they needed to be in the postseason. And look, he came close to winning a ring here. It's really hard to win a Super Bowl. It's really hard to come home with a Lombardi trophy. It sucks that Derrick Henry and the Titans weren't able to achieve that despite coming so close on a couple of different occasions. But you know what? Gone are the days where a player starts his career and finishes his career with the same team. You know, there's a lot more movement nowadays in this league. And Derrick Henry, for him to be this efficient at 30 years old, you know, it's just not a position the Titans found themselves in to go out and decide to bring him back for a couple of more years. And, you know, it's delaying the inevitable. And the inevitable is turning the page with this franchise and evolving into a modern-day offense. Derrick Henry is a great player. He's going to have success in Baltimore. But he wasn't right. And I think we knew this in the back of our minds. We just weren't willing to admit it. Derrick Henry is going to make the Titans better, just like he's going to make the Ravens better. But
yeah,
does that line up with the vision that Rand Carthon and the Titans have for the next 2-3 years as they try and rebuild themselves into an AFC contender? It didn't. It's still going to hurt to see him in purple and black on Sundays. It's still going to hurt him. It's still going to hurt me to see him, you know, run all over the Titans whenever that happens, if that does happen. I know Rand Carthon's doing his best right now to make that not happen in free agency by going to get some big names. But look, it's the day has come. I think whether we want to admit it or not, I've kind of mentally prepared for this day. It's going to suck not having Derrick Henry back here. But look, it's reality. It's time to turn the page. And, you know, in doing so, don't go full Tiki Barber. Don't be that weird fan on the internet who, you know, has hate messages for Derrick Henry for being a traitor.
No.
You know, it's a business. The NFL's a business. He did what's best for him. And you know what? He's got to think of his legacy at this point. And Super Bowl trophy to go up against or to go with his 2,000-yard season, to go with his incredible legacy that he's already started, it would put him up there with the greats of all time at that position. So, you know what? Don't be weird online. There's no hatred for me when it comes to Derrick Henry going to the Ravens. This strengthens my hatred for the Ravens, though. You know, I don't hate Derrick Henry. Yeah. Oh, I hate the Ravens 10 times more now than I ever.
Right. You can't hate Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry was the Tennessee Titans for the last, probably not the last 8 years, but certainly most of the last 4 years. And I mean that in the sense that as Derrick Henry had success, the team had success. If teams found a way to stop Derrick Henry, they found a way to stop the Tennessee Titans. And you can look at that, no further proof of that than with the Tennessee Titans record in the postseason. When Derrick Henry popped off, the Titans had success. When Derrick Henry was stopped and bottled up, the Titans were usually finding an early exit in the postseason. Every Titans playoff loss, Derrick Henry was bottled up for about probably 60 yards or less. And in every Titans playoff win, 150 or more in every single win.
Passing like, touchdown occasionally.
Right. Like, so Derrick Henry truly was, you know, a lot of people like to berate Ryan Tannehill for the lack of playoff success. But honestly, I mean, like this team revolved around Derrick Henry. And I think a lot of fans that grew stale to them and they wanted to move on. They wanted to move to a more modern offense. Look, the Titans found a way to have success with it up until the very end, obviously last season, but they couldn't really run the ball very well because of the offensive line issues. But they were able to zig when everyone else was zagging. So to that, I give the Titans credit, and you couldn't have done it with any other running back. Look at Zeke Elliott. Look at literally any other running back that did not age with grace. I mean, hell, we've got the tail end of Adrian Peterson. He was not the same back in the latter years, but Derrick Henry, even up until last year, 1,100 yards behind that offensive line last year, the second most yards in the NFL. Derrick Henry still has some juice, still has some fuel left in, which is why seeing the Ravens give him $8 million a year was kind of hard, because that's essentially what the Titans gave to Tony Pollard, or at least that's what was first originally reported.
Yeah,
that was reported. It has since come out. Tony Pollard, brand new Tennessee Titan, Derrick Henry's backup, from the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously, if you watched any NFL football outside of the Tennessee Titans, you're very familiar with Tony Pollard. I mean, hell, he stole Zeke Elliott's job in Dallas because he was so good. He was the backup to Zeke for a couple of years, and people were like, why isn't Tony Pollard getting more touches? Then the Cowboys go and cut Zeke and make Tony Pollard the primary back. And he was dealing with some injuries last year, but he signs a three-year, $21 million deal. His first reported 3 years, $24 million. So you're thinking about $8 million AAV on that one. But he got $8 million. He gets $8 million in cash, $10.5 million guaranteed. And then the cap hits for his contract will be $4 million this year, $8.5 million in 2025, and then $9.25 million in 2026. So a pretty decent contract. Like I think Titans fans should feel much better about Tony Pollard. Look, is Tony Pollard as good as Derrick Henry? No. I'll say that. It is a downgrade of the position. Honestly, unless you were getting Josh Jacobs, probably every player you could have signed would be a downgrade.
And even Jacobs regressed last year.
Sure. So I think that it is a downgrade at the position, but Tony Pollard is kind of more physical Tajay Spears, I feel like, in my opinion. So a lot of similar like things, but I think you could do more with him. Like he can be more versatile than Derrick Henry was able to be. And I think he could be a three down back if you needed him to be. Obviously, he'll be splitting touches with Tajay. And as Brian Callahan has already stated this offseason, he wants guys that he can interchange. And
fresh
legs. I think
you're
going to get that. Yeah, I think you're going to get that with Tony Pollard. So, Jack, you and I texted when it all came down, when they signed Tony Pollard first on Monday, and then the next day when Derrick Henry signed with the Ravens on Tuesday. You said the Tony Pollard signing softened the blow for you. For me, when I saw that they had signed Tony Pollard, I mean, obviously I wanted Derrick Henry. I wanted him to return. I still think the Titans could have been a more modern offense with Brian Callahan. With Derrick Henry on the roster, I think he opens things up a little bit more than a Tony Pollard would in an offense. However,
it's debatable though.
It is debatable. I wouldn't hold anyone against debating me in that. Cause I see where the other side is coming from. I just think the way Derrick was kind of mismanaged in these latter years where it's like,
yeah, they didn't maximize his talent with the offensive line that was in front of him. And the predictability and the play-calling aspect was really bad, too.
Right, and that was the thing. And can I name drop real quick? Is that cool to name drop? Okay, so I had dozens and dozens of texts and tweets and DMs. So many people checking in with me when they found out that the Titans were moving on from Derrick Henry. Which, first of all, thank you to everyone. If any of the Tuppers reached out, thank you. One of those names was Mike Keith. Unprovoked, Mike Keith. After the relationship we have built with him from doing this podcast, and he's been a big follower of Cork Bats for a number of years now. He reached out to me and said, and basically, you know, hey, I think you're going to really love Tony Pollard. And I was like, look,
that's,
I know.
That's nice of him.
It was very
You needed that text.
And coming from the literal voice of the Titans certainly did help. So we were just going back and forth. And I was, in fact, we're going to look to get him on the podcast. He couldn't this week, but we're going to try and get him on either next week or in the coming weeks to kind of talk this out in person. But he goes, you're going to like Pollard a lot. Look at his receptions along with rushing. And I said, I like Pollard, but damn it, am I unbearably sad right now. And I basically went on to plead my case that I think you could run a modern offense, the one that I think Brian Callahan is going to implement with the Titans and kind of like he did in Cincinnati. But I feel like previous offensive coordinators, and maybe it stemmed from the coach too as well with Mike Vrabel. We know Mike Vrabel is an old school guy. I think a lot of them felt like they were kind of handcuffed, like they had to feed Derrick Henry so many times, like they had to utilize him, and they had to fit Derrick Henry into this cookie cutter. And you know, he can only be on the field on first and second down. He can't be on the field on third down, or you know, and, yeah, well, like there were Tajay all these
Spears,
like, rules.
Tajay Spears was like he is a better pass blocker at the running back position than Derrick Henry is. He just is.
Yeah, you know,
so
sure.
Some of that mattered.
Sure,
and better pass catcher.
And I get that. I just feel like people, at least the last two offensive play callers, lived and died by rules. Whereas I feel like when you look at a modern offense, there kind of are no rules. Rules are thrown out the window. And so I think like Brian Callahan would be like, oh, okay, Derrick Henry commands this attention. Let's run play action on a third down. You know, yeah. Like let's.
And when you have rules on an offense, you play 17 games. So sooner or later, there's going to be a defensive coordinator that says, hey, I've seen this before. I know their rules.
Right.
So I know what's coming here. And that was a problem. That's why Derrick Henry wasn't so efficient last year. Of course, the offensive line has something to do with that. But, I think that's where Tony Pollard comes in. And, you know, a big Titans problem, and I'm going to talk about all four of these free agent additions that the Titans have made so far. Well, they've made five, but, you know, the last one, Sadiq Charles, is more of a rotational depth guy, in the inside of the offensive line. But there's a solution to every problem that Rand Carthon has found with each of these signings. And the problem last year was predictability in the personnel. When Derrick Henry was out there, it was a run. When Tajay Spears was out there, it was most likely a pass.
Yeah.
Well, you bring in Tony Pollard, and I understand the pushback that some Titans fans had initially on the idea of Tony Pollard, because you had Tony Pollard at home. Tajay Spears, Tony Pollard, similar skill sets. They can both run the ball well. They're both great pass catchers, and they can pick up pass rushes well when they have to on third down. They can pick up a blitzer. Well, Tony Pollard had 55 catches last year and his back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons rushing, and he saw the highest volume of his career last year. I believe he had like 250 carries, and you know, at the end of the day, that's not the right way to use Pollard, right? I think Tony Pollard, and playing behind Ezekiel Elliott, I think showed you that. He averaged 5.5 yards a carry one season playing behind Ezekiel Elliott because the Cowboys maximized his productivity with his touches. They didn't run him into the ground. They didn't, you know, giving him 250 carries is not the right way to use Tony Pollard. But when you have Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard, it's essentially like either Tajay Spears or Tony Pollard, who Titans fans, I think we can all agree on, neither of them being really built to carry that huge workload by themselves. Well, since you have the same guy, essentially, it's like having a Tony Pollard that can carry a full-time workload without getting tired, or a Tajay Spears that won't get tired while he touches the ball 20 times a game, because that's, you're going to diversify your touches on offense with those two dudes. And hopefully neither of them do get tired. That way there's always that burst, and that burst is what makes them special. That burst is what excites people like Brian Callahan and Titans fans when you talk about the versatility the Titans are going to have in the running back room this year. So you're going to have that burst, you know, through four quarters. You're not going to have a worn down Derrick Henry who's carried the ball 23 times and is just dying out here in this country ass town, right? You're going to have two dudes who are going to be pretty fresh throughout all quarters of the game, and I think that's what makes your offense better. It's different, but I do think it will be better. I'm not so much worried about the inside running of those two guys because I think the Titans have already kind of committed to bolstering the inside of that offensive line. You see it with the Lloyd Cushenberry signing, who the Titans went out and made, you know, the highest paid center when you factor in guaranteed money in NFL history. Like, Lloyd Cushenberry is a center that is 26 years old, that is also going to be up there, who's been there, done that, you know, bought the t-shirt. He knows how to read defensive fronts. And with a rookie quarterback behind him, I think that's really important. And I think Will Levis is going to, you know, mature in that aspect of the game. Like, this is his first season as a full-time starter coming up. To have a guy like Lloyd Cushenberry in front of him to help recognize the things that he might not have seen yet at the NFL level. Because, look, defensive coordinators, they're going to try all kinds, they're going to throw all kinds of looks at Levis. And he's not going to know all of them because he hadn't seen all of them. But Cushenberry has. And he's going to be a big-time asset there. And a big problem with Aaron Brewer, outside of the errant snaps from time to time, he couldn't pass protect. He was just undersized. Like for as athletic as he was and the backflips, they were all cool, and he was a good run blocker. But he couldn't pass protect. He was one of the worst centers in the NFL in pass protection. Well, now you got a guy in Cushenberry who's the third best pass blocking center in the NFL. Not only that, but he's 6'4", 315 pounds. Try bull rushing that. You're not going to be able to. So, you know, the inside run game is the biggest question mark with Pollard and Spears. But when you bring in a guy like Cushenberry and you've got a guy next to him like Skoronski, we'll figure out who the right guard will be sooner or later.
Hopefully.
That masks some of those deficiencies in the running back room.
Yeah. No, and it. So it does feel like they made a lot of progress in the free agency room. Another free agent deal that they picked up. And Jack, I'm going to absolutely butcher this name, so I need you to kind of this is going to be a trust fall in pronouncing
your
name. I'm gonna go Chidobe Awuzie.
Chidobe Awuzie.
Awuzie. That's right. It's French. Chidobe Awuzie. Fantastic cornerback from the Cincinnati Bengals. Honestly, bolstering that. And look, there's been a few other names that we'll get to that have been thrown around in the secondary. But that was part of the other, I think, with the third signing on Monday that really kind of kickstarted free agency. And it did feel like a let Rand cook type situation. Mm-hmm. But then players started signing elsewhere, and you know, you're looking across the league, especially in your own division. You see the Texans.
We're gonna get to that. I want to talk about that, by the way.
We have to talk about that because I mean, look, we used to have a segment on this podcast called Laughing at the Texans. Now it's like Texans are freaking laughing at all of us.
Hiding from the Texans at this stage.
Yeah, the freaking are the Texans.
By
like
the way, damn them to hell. Damn the Texans to hell for taking DeNico Autry and Aziz Alshire. Damn them to hell.
Yeah.
How could you do that?
Like, and that's the problem I have. Like, these new additions are great, but the Titans are also losing guys in free agency, which I don't love. Mainly those
but
two
it's
names
part
you
of
just
it.
Said.
It's part of it. You've got two new coordinators coming in. You got a new head coach. Rand Carthon's first year to really, you know, do this thing on his own without the collaboration. I'm doing air quotes with his head coach. And yeah. Awuzie, you just hit on him. I mean, it's a big deal. 29-year-old corner. He was the number one corner on the Bengals Super Bowl run on that team. And the biggest issue the Titans had at corner last year was getting beat deep. They didn't have a lot of speed out there with Sean Murphy. Sean Murphy Bunting was great in the zone. And Fulton, had his struggles as well with Trey Avery out there too.
Titans losing overtime because of getting beat deep. And,
exactly.
And that was against Sean Murphy Bunting, if I remember correctly,
it was.
Right?
You're right.
And Sean Murphy Bunting was great. Another guy that got picked up in free agency that I hated to see leave. When I saw his contract, I saw, okay, that's okay. If he's going to walk for that price, that's fine. But another guy I hated to see leave because I thought he was fantastic for the Titans last year.
There were some things that Murphy Bunting did well. But at the end of the day, I think it was more familiar mediocrity and wanting to dumpster dive when the Titans have a big-time budget. You know, Awuzie is an example of spending money wisely. And like I said, the big issue was getting beat deep and getting beat over the top, you know, on third down more often than not. Awuzie is not going to do that. This dude has sprinter speed, almost Olympic sprinter speed. In fact, he was a second and a half off of Olympic qualifying in the 200 meters out of high school. Okay.
Oh, hello.
This is a dude that ran a 4.4 at the combine back in 2017. When he was drafted. But not only is he fast, he's accountable, he's a leader. Lou Anarumo, the Bengals defensive coordinator, you know, had great things to say about him. And he had a year last year where, you know what, the interception numbers weren't there, but he was coming off an ACL tear and he started to find himself on the back end of the season. And oftentimes, you know, we saw it with Harold Landry, dudes coming off ACLs, they're slow out of the gates. But like Landry last year, Awuzie really picked it up towards the end of the year. And the Titans aren't getting a dude off an ACL here, which is important. They're getting a guy who's found his way back from that. And I don't think the Titans should be done at the cornerback position. I still think they got to go out and get another dude, like maybe a Kendall Fuller, if they can afford him. But Awuzie is a great signing, and it starts to address some of the big-time needs you have on the back end of that defense.
Yeah, and like with the moves that the Titans have made and haven't made, just goes to tell me they did not think highly of last season. And basically anyone on the roster last year, they felt like anyone who was coming up in contract was expendable. And even down to the running back of the team, essentially. So the Titans are looking to turn the page. They're starting to looking to write a brand new chapter of Titans football. And it's weird as a fan, especially considering we kind of just went through this during the Mariota to Tannehill transfer. And, it's each new wave is getting us. Well, you like to think that was getting us closer, but, the way the last tenure kind of trailed out, it seems like we're kind of closer to the malarkey Mariota days than we are the Vrabel Henry,
It's easy to say that now because the Titans have only signed 4 starters in free agency and we've yet to see their draft class. So while there's no continuity and momentum heading into next year, I do think they're doing a great job at finding talent and bringing them in. And there's a lot of guys that we're going to talk about here in a minute who they're reportedly interested in that could make a big time difference here. So while the roster might not look perfect right now, and this is another thing that Titans fans have to understand, be patient. You got to be patient with Rand Carthon. And he came out of the gate sprinting with those 4 deals on day one. And but he set a high bar for himself. So Titans fans, are expecting him to go out and hit home runs on day two. Well, it's not like he wasn't working on day two just because he didn't land a big guy. He was busy setting up meetings. And you see trade interests with Jarius Sneed. Chase Young's coming on a meeting. Jerome Baker's coming in on a meeting. DJ Reader, there's some interest there reportedly.
Eric Anderson? Are they still meeting with him?
Eric Armstead was released today.
And
they're supposedly in on him. So it's not like he wasn't doing anything because they didn't get a deal done. People, this takes time. These guys want to go on visits to figure out their next home.
Look, he's not the Dallas Cowboys. The only team in the NFL as of recording this on midday on Wednesday, March 13th, the Dallas Cowboys, the only NFL team who have not made a free agent signing yet.
Hard when your owner/GM goes to bed at 5:30 every day.
That is hard. Look, it is hard. And plus, before the half hour to an hour before that, he's got to watch Wheel and Jeopardy before bed. So... back to back, you can't expect him to do everything, you guys. But no, Jack, in fact, I'm glad you kind of went there because I was going to save this for the end, but I just want to get into this right now. I have seen on Twitter, Titans fans, some of which, there's one guy, I just started following him. He writes for paulkaharski.com. Forgive me. I don't know his name. But I'm sure you guys know he was tweeting about how it was, like, Titans fans, if you haven't already planned to watch the Titans suck next year, you should go ahead and consider that thought because, he was predicting the Titans would go 6-10 next year, 6-11 next year, or at best 7-10. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, okay, wait a minute. It's March 13th, okay?
Record prediction should not happen in March.
If you're sitting here predicting that the Titans are going to suck, which I kind of actually just did. So, I'm kind of speaking to myself. I fell into that trap of being like, well, look, maybe the Titans aren't going to be bad. First of all, you can't do that. And I've also seen a lot of people with the take of like, oh, well, the Texans are going off right now with their signings because, they've got a rookie contract and their rebuild is 2 years ahead of the Titans. Kind of putting some sort of mold around a rebuild, like there's structure and rules to a rebuild where, a full rebuild takes 3 years. No, it doesn't. This is the NFL. Okay, good franchises do not need years to rebuild. Now, am I saying the Titans are a good franchise? I don't know, but I'm saying this offseason will be
I think they are.
Pretty good. Okay.
Right. I think you know, recent evidence suggests that they are a good franchise.
I would agree with you, but I don't want my bias to like shine too strong. But for anyone that is questioning that, I think this offseason is the tell as to what we can expect from the Titans. If they can go out and do this rebuild in a year, because that's all you need in the NFL. The NFL is one of the few professional sports where a team can go from last place to first place in the span of one calendar year. Mm-hmm. It can happen. It happens every single year. It's not even a lottery ticket. It is more of a surefire bingo winner every week. You know, like every year you have a winner. So this offseason will tell us more about the Tennessee Titans, where they stand in their standing of good franchises. The Texans are not a good franchise. You know, they were, and then they fell off the map. They made some dumb decisions and fell off the map and were bad for a long time. Now they're back to seemingly being good again. But if you're a good franchise, you can bounce back in a year at most. Look at teams like the New Orleans Saints, the Green Bay Packers, the San Francisco 49ers, where Rand Carthon just came from. Hell, the Los Angeles Rams. They won a Super Bowl, fell off the very next year, and then boom, last year they're right back to it again, competing. Yeah, and
it took Dan Campbell,
a good team.
It took Dan Campbell two seasons in Detroit, and that was a dumpster fire that he inherited. So
yeah, so
and to the point that the Titans might not be a good franchise, like, they were over 500 for six straight years up until 2 years ago, when they were a game away, when they were a win away with Josh Dobbs, really a play away with Josh Dobbs from winning that division for the third consecutive year and going to the playoffs. Like, they've been in the playoffs three of the last five seasons. This is a good franchise that has had roster issues, right?
Yeah, like, well, all of those teams that I rattled off, the most important thing on all of those rosters is the quarterback. Every single one of those teams had a quarterback when they rebuilt, okay? The Tennessee Titans have a quarterback. We know who the guy is. And I mean, I feel like I'm not alone in this, but we're pretty confident in the guy. You put the pieces around the guy, he's going to produce. He's going to deliver. So the Titans have their quarterback. Now it's just a matter of finding out, can the Titans get the pieces around him and make that rebuild 1 year and not have to wait the 3 years, as many fans are saying, that the Texans are already 2 years ahead of the Titans in their rebuild. Like, that's, to me, that's, for lack of a better term, it's bullshit. It is.
And so, to the Texans, like, they're having a good offseason. They're spending a lot of money, especially on that defensive front of theirs. It's kind of like the reverse Legion of Boom. You got a guy on a rookie contract, you go out and spend money up front instead on the back end. But every great marathon runner trains with a pace runner, right? There's always a runner that sets the pace in order to push the marathon runner to get to that eventual PR. Right now, I think the Texans are the pace runner for the Titans. They're out in front of them right now. But eventually that marathon runner is going to catch up, and he's going to pass them. And I think the Titans are putting themselves in position to do so with some of these signings. And with, you know, I think we have a pretty good idea of what their draft strategy is here in the first two rounds, with a blue chip guy at number 7 overall, and then filling in another major need at that 38, whether it's a wide receiver or a tackle. The Titans are in position. They're just a full, like, C.J. Stroud had a full season to start under him. Will Levis came into a mess midway through the season. You know how hard it is to learn on the fly? And then he goes out and has that game against Atlanta and pulls that comeback off against Miami. He showed flashes. We need to see him do it for a full season to really be all the way in on him. But I think it's a guy that this franchise is comfortable building around, and we're seeing some of that right now. Don't get frustrated because the Texans are ahead of you right now. Don't do that. Like, the Titans' time is going to come. They're not going to go from worst to first, even though you can. And having a fourth place schedule is going to be great this year. You're going to get some layup teams. You're going to get some easy wins, which is going to be great for Will's confidence early on in the year. But don't get frustrated. The Texans are ahead for now, but this race isn't over. This race is not over.
Look at what D'Amico Ryans did in 1 year with that franchise. Like you could say, oh, it's the year three of their rebuild, but No, last year they signed or they drafted Will Anderson and CJ Stroud, two guys who were pivotal roles in that rebuild, along with D'Amico Ryans. A new coach can come in and redo the curtains. He can redo the chandeliers, redo the table dressings, like everything. So, like, there's no doubt in my mind that the Titans can deliver next year. Getting a quarterback whisperer like Brian Callahan in the ear of a young Will Levis before any other coordinator could do any more ruin or harm to him, that's fantastic. That's the best possible scenario we can have after the mess and disaster that we had last year. So if you're sitting there saying, oh, the Titans are going to suck, or prepare for the Titans to suck, it's March 13th, all right? Let's at least get through the draft before we start rolling out those hot takes, okay? Like, and look, the media is not going to talk about the Titans. I can go ahead and tell you that right now. It doesn't matter if the Titans draft Attila the Hun in the first round, okay? Which I know, I know he's only getting second round mocks.
His age is a bit of a concern at this point.
His age, yeah, he's definitely up there in age, and you know, sometimes
it's like the Brandon Whedon of this year's draft class.
It has some character issues as well. So I don't think, you know, I he's getting second round grades from all of the experts. But if the Titans did draft Attila the Hun, people are not going to talk about the Titans. They don't talk about the Titans. In fact, I'm one of the things I'm excited about Derrick Henry going to Baltimore is Derrick Henry is going to get so much more attention in Baltimore than he ever did in Tennessee. That's just it's the case of the matter. Titans do not move the needle. They don't. Trust me, as a guy who's building a website, a sports blog centered around a national sports blog that's centered around the Tennessee Titans, it's hard to do. I think the A to Z guys can attest to that. It's hard to build around Tennessee because the Titans just don't move the needle nationally. However, with that said, do not start drawing conclusions to the season. All right? Jump to conclusions, Matts, at work.
And that's the thing. Like, we don't even know
Office
how this
space
team
reference right there.
We don't even know how this team is going to look on the field. Like, we haven't seen a Brian Callahan coached football team before. And we know what Denard Wilson can do as a defensive coordinator. So there is some precedent there. But Austin, I think it's time that we get to some of, you know, we know the Titans have made some moves. We talked about three of them. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Murray is the last guy that we haven't talked about. A linebacker that is super fast, ran a 4.52 at the 40 in 2020, which led to him getting a first round pick.
Oh, and don't forget Sadiq Charles. Hello.
Sadiq Charles. Yeah. He was playing right on that offensive line next to Lloyd Cushenberry on that 2019 LSU team. So he hasn't really panned out, but I think it's a risk worth taking there.
If there's one thing Brian Callahan loves, it's that 2019 LSU team. Right?
What's not to love?
Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow. Dude loves himself some 2019 LSU Tigers.
I know Titans fans wish they'd probably love it a little bit more and would have gone out and grabbed Patrick Queen. But Jerome Baker is a guy they're rumored to be talking to. We'll get into all the rumors here in a second. I want to hit on Kenneth Murray real quick, because I know he's a guy that some Titans fans out online are kind of down on. He's 25 years old. He ran a 4.52 at the 40, and I understand being, you know, upset with his, you know, pass coverage skills and some of the grades he's put out over the last few years. But Austin, how many times last season were you watching the Titans on defense and there was either an outside run or maybe a quarterback got loose on a scramble drill and Jack Gibbons couldn't quite close the gap on him?
Yeah, Dr. Gibby.
A lot, right? Yeah, that happened often.
Dr. Gibby was definitely hampered in many forms of his game. But one area he did not waver in was his heart.
Not his heart. Man.
Yeah.
But Dr. Gibby got the full diagnosis of being a slowpoke on defense, okay? Mm-hmm. Kenneth Murray is sideline to sideline. His range is incredible. You know, that speed we just talked about, they had a speed issue against mobile quarterbacks, which now everybody seems to have a mobile quarterback. A guy like Kenneth Murray is a great athlete to have there. If Denard Wilson can just coach him up a little bit like he did Patrick Queen, then there is a ceiling with Kenneth Murray that I think a lot of Titans fans would be happy with. So he's a project, but with Denard Wilson, you know, coaching him up, I think that you know, he can really make some strides this training camp and, you know, this season.
Right. And with, you know, with the loss of Aziz, Aziz was a sideline to sideline guy. Like with the Aziz brought speed to that,
tackling machine.
To the linebacking position and, you know, led the team in tackles last year. So when you miss out on that, you need to fill that gap somewhere. And the thing that I always tell myself about free agent signings, you know, whenever like people are like, oh, well, this free agent signing sucks. Listen, teams bring in free agent signings after discussion, you know, with the coaching staff, with the, you know, with the GM. They talk about these signings and they bring them in for a reason because they feel like they see something. Oh, I can work with this guy, or oh, this is a guy who can fill a need here. So
maybe it was coaching malpractice at his last stop.
Exactly. So like I always err on the side of the team rather than Twitter. And I think Titans fans should too.
Pretty smart.
You know, as we have said, you know, kind of going back to what we were just talking about, Titans are a good franchise. Like they usually, especially with Ran, I'll say that because, you know, in the early days of John Robinson and with Ran, they had a higher hit rate when in terms of their free agent signings, especially Ran last year. Ran hit it out of the park with his free agent signings last year. So
outside of Dillard, Dillard was a black eye.
Well, yeah, that's he's the Sadiq Charles of last year, if you will.
Hopefully they get more out of Charles than they did Dillard, even though they paid him quite a bit.
Yeah, this year they signed Sadiq. Last year they signed Sad Dick, Andre Dillard.
he made me sad.
He made all of us sad, honestly. It made me frustrated, too. I pulled out most of my hair. I go to the doctor, and he's like, I think you're suffering from hair loss. And I'm like, no, I'm not suffering from hair loss. I'm suffering from having Andre Dillard be on my favorite football team. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll prescribe you a Sadiq Charles. Take two of these every morning. I err on the side of the franchise knowing what they're doing. But Jack, let's get to some of these rumors. I love rumors. I'm just gonna throw some names out there. Eric Armstead, expected to have interest in the Titans. That comes from Diana Russini, very plugged in.
That's your Danico Autry replacement.
Eric Armstead is large. He is a tall dude, and I don't know, that excites me. I would love.
He's got
to
the Rand Carthon 49ers connection. He's a freak talent, a freak athlete, and but the issue is he turned down San Francisco's deal to take a salary cap cut or a cap hit cut, and I'm not sure what his market looks like, but I know he's not going to be cheap. But at the same time, this isn't an off season to pinch pennies if you're in Tennessee.
Go out and pay
for the dudes.
Yeah, dude. If you're a Titans fan, I hope they spend every last dime of their free agent allowance because they need to. Why not? You know, like go 0 to 60, go from last place to first place next year if you can. And this is the time to do it. So let's just consider this one long segment of two-tone blue. Eric Armstead, I think we're both in agreement. What about Justin Simmons? Diana Russini announcing that the Titans are interested in Justin Simmons.
I love Justin Simmons. Four-time All-Pro. Okay, the Titans last year, last in the league in interceptions on defense. They only had six picks on defense. Can you believe that? It's embarrassing.
I saw you on the A to Z morning show talking about Justin Simmons. You love Justin Simmons.
He has 23 interceptions since 2019. 23 picks since 2019. He had three this year, but he had six last year in just 12 games. That's a guy you want on defense. Denard Wilson's defense in Baltimore, they took the ball away. They led the NFL in turnovers. Forced. So Justin Simmons fits Denard Wilson's mold. Not only that, but he's a veteran you can have on the back end, kind of coach some of these younger guys up. And you know what? If you don't spend a lot of money at the linebacker position, well, he's a guy on that third level that can help erase some mistakes. Take the football away. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens' offense was really good last year. They had talent on offense, but they also had plenty of short fields to work with. You get Will Levis some of that, make his life a little easier, take some pressure off his shoulders, everybody wins.
So Justin Simmons, we are in agreement. That is We agree that Justin Simmons, two-tone blue? Huh? Yes. Titans showing strong interest in DJ Reader. That one comes from Josina Anderson.
Big dog. Big dog. But I'm not so sure here. Because he's like pretty much strictly a run stopper, which is great. The Titans have had great run defenses in the last few years. But I kind of want a more versatile guy. I want more of a Eric Armstead who can play inside and is fast enough to get on the outside in like a twist or something. So I like Reader. I'm not married to the idea of Reader, though.
See, I go on this signing solely off of one, size, and two, number of puns I can make with that name. And DJ Reader, are you kidding me? DJ Reader, hardly know her. I'm all for signing DJ Reader, so I'm gonna say
I like DJ Watcher better. I think DJ Watcher.
Well, no, nice it coach. Should be DJ Listener, right?
He'd be a great scout, DJ Watcher.
Yeah, DJ Listener is like the verb that should go after DJ, right?
DJ Listener, DJ Player.
DJ.
We could really get off the rails here. We got to be careful. All right, moving on.
Yeah, we do.
Who do you got?
Jerome Baker is scheduled to visit the Titans today. That one comes via Adam Schefter, another Baker, hardly know her.
If you could get Baker and Reader on the same defense, now we're talking. And by the way, Baker actually, all puns aside and jokes aside, like Jerome Baker would be a home run here. You know, he's 27 years old. He was a beast in the middle of that Dolphins defense. He had a 7-sack season at one point, and he's a guy who's really good in pass coverage. He's got 5 interceptions in his career. He had 2 last season. So for what Kenneth Murray lacks in you know, some coverage ability, I think Jerome makes up for. And, you know, he's a high-intelligence player. He's a guy I'd be comfortable giving the green dot to on defense.
I agree. We are in agreement there. Then moving on, Chase Young scheduled to visit. That one comes via Ian Rappaport. I am fully on board with this. To me, the best secondary fix is a good defensive line. So if you could get a Chase Young as well as an Eric Armstead, DJ Reader, that to me is baby. Pair that with Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry. Yes, please. I don't know how expensive he would be though.
Yeah, so that's the thing. The idea of Chase Young is fun because he was, you know, so highly drafted. He may have been the first overall pick with the Washington.
He had like kind of what many called the down year last year. And
second overall.
I'm pretty sure he still put together 66. Was it pressures?
Definitely not. That would be a record setting number. But
it was.
He improved and he needed to show improvement.
It was something ridiculous last year where it was like 20 more than anyone on the Titans D-line had last season. I forget where I saw it. Look, probably F-words or something. I don't know.
He had a bit of a career resurgence last year, but my issue with Chase Young, and a lot of people have compared him to, you know, Vic Beasley, which I think is outrageous. And I've seen some Jadeveon Clowney comparisons. And by the way, don't forget about this. Like, I know that Titans fans have a bad taste in their mouths about Jadeveon Clowney, but Clowney kind of balled out last year under Denard Wilson.
Yeah,
so,
he really did.
So I hate to admit it, but that's not the reason I don't want Chase Young. And there's effort issues that people have brought up about his effort in the Super Bowl. I understand that's important, but the reason why I'm out on him is because I think he would only take a 1-year deal, and I don't want to hand out a prove it contract to a player. Like, the Titans need to lock up dudes for the next 2, 3, 4 years. I understand the talent there is, you know, mouth-watering, right? Because if you get Chase Young fully healthy, fully committed, he could be a special player. But I think he'd use it as a 1-year deal to boost his value, then go sign a 3-year deal with somebody else for a lot of money.
Well, and that's,
I'm not in on the prove-it deals right now.
That kind of goes back to it goes back to the discussion we had a couple weeks ago, Jack, where when you sign guys for 3 or 4 years, there's more buy-in to the franchise as a whole. Look at Sean Murphy Bunting. My man improved his stock and went out and got paid. However, that doesn't help the culture of your franchise. Like, if Sean Murphy Bunting signed a 3 or 4 year deal with Tennessee, he'd be bought in with Tennessee. And like, you take more pride in knowing that when you do those prove it deals, sure, you're probably getting more effort out of the player because they want to prove it. They want to up their stock, but they're also looking to sign elsewhere when that deal's done. Very rarely do they say, oh, I want to stay put where I'm at. And that doesn't help a culture. That doesn't help a franchise build. I mean, look at Aziz Al-Shaair. I mean, same thing. Like, but if you sign these guys to longer term deals, you get more buy-in knowing, hey, I'm stuck here for the next few years. I want to win a championship. It's going to have to be here. So let's go out and do it. So I agree with you on that front. Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan did not attend a Georgia Pro Day, but instead decided to focus on free agency.
Yeah, they're cooking something. Something's in the kitchen. The stove is turned up, the oven's on.
And I don't know, Jack, I got a question for you. Do you sneed what The Rock is cooking? What The Rand is cooking? Huh?
Yeah, I mean... L'Jarius Sneed, great player on the Chiefs, cornerback number one, back-to-back Super Bowls. I mean, his value is as high as it will ever be. There are some issues, though. Tony Pauline from Sports Keita has brought up how much time he missed in practice this season with knee issues. You're gonna have to give up a draft pick, and, you know, I know there's rumors about a third-round pick being involved, which the Titans do not have this year. If they gave up a third, it'd have to be in next year's draft. Or they'd have to go out and get rid of somebody and bring in a third somehow, which I don't think that they have anybody on their roster that they'd be willing to move for a third. But. And
Paul Kaharsky broke it down pretty well, where if you are giving someone a draft pick for next year, a lot of times you go a round higher than you normally would. So if L'Jarius Sneed is worth a 2024 third-round pick, that means you would have to give up a 2025 second-round pick to make it worthwhile for a team because the teams do not like taking draft picks from future years in trades, unless it's paired with something else. So that to me would, I think that would be a no-go by Kansas City, which is probably one of the reasons why a deal hasn't been made yet. But it does seem like the Titans are very interested in L'Jarius Sneed. And I love the idea of it because obviously the talent, everything you said, to me, the practice reports, missing practices with knee injuries. Look, Steve McNair missed every practice ever and still went out and balled on Sundays.
It's different with a corner, right?
Sure.
A corner's only so good and so explosive for so long. You have these knee issues, and then, like, not only are you going to give up a draft pick if you go out and get him, but then you got to pay him a lot of money.
Yes. My rebuttal to the issues. He went out and balled on Sunday, and that to me is the bottom line of any argument when it comes to L'Jarius Sneed. He performed at a high level. What you brought up, the how much he's going to cost, because he is going to cost you a pretty penny.
20 mil plus.
He is going to command a lot of money, which, again, I don't care about how much the Titans spend just as long as they don't go crazy with a hampering contract as they have done over the last couple of years. So it the good comes with the bad, and the bad is the price tag. But it takes money to be good, and it takes money to get talent. So I like the idea. I would love to see him in Two-Tone Blue.
I like the idea as well, but I just think if you have a problem with something, I'm a believer that you should also have a secondary solution. So I have a problem with the Titans giving up a draft pick and then a heavy chunk of change to Sneed. So my solution here would be Kendall Fuller, who's going to be around $13.5 million, according to Spotrac. You save that extra chunk of money. You can spend it on a DJ Reader. Mike Williams just got cut from the Chargers. I know he's coming off an ACL, but if you want to upgrade that wide receiver room, a chunk of that could go to Mike Wills' deal or somewhere else. Maybe it's a Justin Simmons you can bring in. So it's almost like you get two players for one, with a Kendall Fuller, who's very good in his own right, and then fill another need instead of just having L'Jarius Sneed and also losing a draft pick in the process.
Plus, we could always revert back to the joke of Fuller, easy on the Pepsi.
Okay, that one's over my head.
Really? Home Alone?
I know Home Alone. I haven't seen it in a while.
Okay. All right. Jack, I...
You just... See, that's the issue. Not only do you watch all these movies, but you remember every single line in every single movie.
You sound like my co-host.
You make me look bad, Austin.
You sound like my ghost on the radio here. I remember one time she goes... We were like... like, she's so bad with movie quotes. And we go, do you know... Are there any movie quotes you do know? She goes, oh, yeah. Like, what's that line from Dumb and Dumber? Oh, it gets me every time. Whoa! Do not go in there. And we were like, yeah, that's from Ace Ventura.
I'm in Chicago this weekend, and you know this, and hopefully we can meet up for the first time ever. But
For the first time ever, in 4 years of doing a damn podcast, it's about time we meet up in person.
I think I need to meet her before I meet you. So we can just vent about the movie.
I am not getting you two together because you two, she is like the female version of you, essentially. I'm not letting you guys get together at all. Jack and I are scheduled to meet up at some point this weekend, and I'm very excited. I'm giddy, dare I say. I'm also a little disappointed because, like, I know you're going to be much taller than I expect, and I'm going to be much shorter than you expect. So it is going to be
It's
going to be an episode of Catfish where, you know, we're going to be like, I'll wear my short shoes.
Hey, breaking news. The Tennessee Titans have just made a deal with a backup quarterback.
No, Joe Flacco.
I wish.
That's just what I say when I get alarmed.
Because A to Z Sports reported they were in on him. But the Tennessee Titans have agreed to terms with former Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph.
I don't love it. I don't. Mason Rudolph. Don't get me wrong. Mason Rudolph came into Jim Rome Studios during the draft process, ahead of him getting drafted. One of the nicest dudes on earth. He's a good human being. And he did have a pretty good Linsanity run towards the end of last season with the Steelers. Without Mason Rudolph, the Steelers did not make the playoffs last year. He did really start to turn on. So I do think with a good offensive coordinator, he can be great. However, that has to be like a QB3, right? That can't be the answer.
No, that's QB2 right there.
Well, as of right now it is, but I'm saying like, there has to be one more quarterback signing, right? Like,
no, I don't think so. I think this is it. I think you go out and you got a vet who can prove that he can come in and win games. I mean, the dude has an 8-4-1 record as a starter, and he's coming in relief and done well. You know, touchdown to interceptions, 19-11. I understand that he's not necessarily a guy that I believe can teach Will Levis a whole lot from the mental side of things.
Well, like, yeah, Flacco he's still got a dent in his skull from Myles Garrett.
Yeah, that's true. He is going to have to work past that. Maybe Dr. Gibbons can prescribe him something. But
is Dr. Gibby still on the team?
Yeah, he is. He is still on the team.
Jeez. Oh,
but
not,
I mean,
not if Rand has his way.
Look, this is a guy that's going to come in, and if anything happens to Will Levis, we know how Will Levis can be and play.
Yeah.
And it's a great thing about him because he cares so much and he wants to win more than anything in this world. But if God forbid anything happens to Will Levis, I think Mason Rudolph's a guy you can trust to come in and fill in when he's needed to.
Okay. You feel much better about the Mason Rudolph signing than I do. I don't hate it. I don't hate the signing. I think I wanted a little bit more security in that QB2 position. And I think a guy like what Joe Flacco showed last year, he's still got some left in the tank. Plus what Joe Flacco could teach. And what was the other quarterback that was thrown around?
Brandon Allen was a name that was mentioned.
No,
I was trying to throw around C.J. Beathard to get some hype for.
That's just because
Battleground Academy.
Yeah, get out of here with that. All right, Jack. Before we get out of here,
last thing on Mason Rudolph. Brian Callahan coached in that division, and Rudolph started against the Bengals late in the season. Went 17 of 27 for 290 yards and 2 touchdowns. I imagine Callahan saw something that game that he really liked in Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
So I trust Callahan's eye there.
When Mason Rudolph was the starter for the Steelers prior to last season, he was playing under it was Matt Canada-led offense, right? Which we know Matt Canada is, you know, essentially the Yinzer version of he who shall not be named.
Yeah, it'll do for now, right? I feel comfortable with that.
It'll do for now. All right, Jack, before we get out of here, I think we would be remiss if we did not hit on the Houston Texans. WTF, dude. I feel like the Texans are a trust fund baby, and it just kicked in. Because they are going to town with spending. And people are like, well, CJ Stroud's still in that rookie contract. Bro, did CJ Stroud being on a rookie contract win them a bankloads of cash? Like, they've been freaking deal or no deal on their way through free agency and coming up with every suitcase they open has, you know, 75 grand in it. And I just don't get it. I know that goes against the, how, you know, deal or no deal is actually played, because you want to open the cases with the little cash. Mm-hmm. But you guys catch my drift where I'm going here. The Houston Texans somehow found oil on their ranch, and they have been reaping the benefits because they have signed every free agent, including two predominant Tennessee Titans that we wanted back in Two-Tone Blue, and a team that was already the best team in the AFC South just feels like they've gotten better.
Yeah, look, the division runs through Houston, and it's been a while since we've been able to say that. But right now, as things stand, Houston's the favorite in this division. How do you catch up to them? Well, you get a defense who can stop C.J. Stroud, and then you worry about offense. If your defense, and you can bolster that offensive line and bring in some of these guys we've been talking about in the secondary, then I think that you know, weakens C.J. Stroud. And by the way, the sophomore slump in the NFL is a real thing for quarterbacks. So, you know, while the Texans, like I said earlier, they're the pace car, the Titans have to catch up to those guys. So it's nice to know who the Titans are going to be jockeying with. Because, look, the Jaguars, can we bring back laughing at the Jaguars? Their biggest signing is Gabe Davis. I'm not scared of those losers.
Whoa. Hello, bro. Are you forgetting the fact that they brought in Mac Jones?
Oh, my bad. How could I forget?
Yeah, Mac Jones. We definitely... The Jaguars are the new laughing stock, in my opinion, in the division.
What in the hell's going on in Jacksonville? I mean,
I don't know. But
is there like a bacteria in that pool in that stadium that's gotten to the GM's head over there? Like, these moves make no sense.
Good, they can only be good for 1 year. They can only be good for 1 year, and then they have to go right back.
That is so true.
All right, we need to get out of here. Guys, follow Jack on Twitter at Jack A. Gentry. Follow me on Twitter at Austin Huff. You can see our photos that we will inevitably post this weekend when we meet in person. Thank you for 4 years of amazingness. You guys, honestly, cannot thank you enough. We love you. Send your show titles to at Tighten Up Pod on Twitter or at Tighten Up Podcast on Instagram. And, of course, follow A to Z Sports on all things social. Jack, you got anything for the road? Less than a minute.
Patience is a virtue, Titans fans. And don't misplace your hate for Derrick Henry. We hate the Ravens. We don't hate Derrick Henry. Remember that. Be responsible online. Don't press send.
Thank you guys so much for 4 years. Thank you. I cannot thank you enough. Here's to 4 more great years, hopefully, if A to Z Sports will have us and if the Titans continue to be good. Because if they continue down this path of suck, we are not going to be
good. Hey, we're not talking about that. It's a new year. No, new era.
It's new year. New year of Tup, new year of Titans. With all that said, until next week, Tighten up. We joke a lot on this podcast about Wednesday afternoon news dumps, mainly because this podcast is normally recorded on Tuesdays and drops on Wednesdays. And we joke that the Titans save all of their best news for Wednesdays, making us wait an entire week to respond to it. Well, and that is no different this week, where the Titans decided to drop a massive dump, Wednesday afternoon news dump, on our chests. Today, my goodness, you guys, we had to get back on the pod after what was already a long episode. We knew it was going to be a long sode because it's our free agent special. We were saying goodbye to the king. We were doing so much in this week's sode, and yet the Titans were like, nope, you still got to talk about more things. And that was a massive, massive splash that they made in free agent signing for a hefty price tag. But ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it, your newest Tennessee Titan, Mason Rudolph.
What?
Oh, and they signed Calvin Ridley, too.
What? What? Dude, are you kidding me? We finished recording, full transparency, less than 10 minutes ago.
And Jack has already changed in that time span. He changed clothes.
I changed clothes. I put on a hat. 4-year deal, Austin. $92 million with $50 million guaranteed per Ian Rappaport. we'll wait to see the cap hit and the actual, you know, terms of the deal here in a little bit. But are you freaking kidding me? Rand Carthon, get the hell back in the kitchen. I mean, this dude is cooking.
What? I mean, look, what does this mean for what we do at number 7 in the draft now? Because everyone was like, Roma Dunze, you know, you got to go get Malik Nabers. I mean, do you still go and get one of those guys? I mean,
not with the first pick.
I mean, not with now the first one. Now you have to go offensive line now, right? I mean, like, this is, first of all, this is huge. This is great. You get DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley on the same offense with freaking Tyjae Spears in the backfield and Tony Pollard and Will Levis. It's crazy how one signing can change your entire outlook on a season. Are the Titans back?
They're so back. Calvin Ridley, after a year off of football, put up a 1,000-yard season last year. And I know what Titans fans, I know that Titans fans remember what he did to them when he saw them, especially in that game late in the year. He played Tennessee twice last year. In the first meeting, he put up 7 catches for 103 yards and 2 touchdowns. In the second game, that final game of the season, 6 catches for 106 yards and another touchdown. Calvin Ridley takes this Titans offense to the next level. And everywhere that Brian Callahan's gone, we've talked about it. He's always got a 3-headed monster out wide, whether it was in Cincinnati or it was the Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, Anquan Boldin trio in Detroit, or the Demaryius Thomas, Wes Welker, and Emmanuel Sanders trio, Eric Decker trio in Denver. There's always been a big three. The Titans are one person away, one receiver away. Maybe a Treylon Burks emergence helps them get to that big three. But my God, is this 1-2, this Batman and Robin, this 1A, 1B duo, not one of the best in the NFL? What a perfect move to start this new era and to say, hey, you know what? I know our expectations are tempered. I know we've got a lot of question marks, but damn it, we're here to win right now. What a move.
I can't wait for Calvin Ridley to get suspended next season because he bet on the Titans. Baby, the Titans are pushing all their chips to the center. And this is fantastic because this is a dual threat signing. And no, I'm not still talking about the Mason Rudolph signing. I'm saying the Calvin Ridley signing is a dual threat signing because not only are you stocking up your cupboard with talent and speed at the wide receiver position and separation at the wide receiver position, but you're also stealing from your division rival Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, you are
that's the cherry on top, but this
filling
is
your own belly. But you're looking at the hobo on the street saying, give me your sandwich, bitch.
Calvin Ridley, I cannot believe the Titans went all in like this. Screw the T. Higgins stuff. You're getting a 29-year-old Calvin Ridley with plenty of gas left in his tank. I am so excited for the Titans right now, and there's no one happier in this city than Will Levis.
Well, and when Will Levis inevitably gets injured, you've got enough weapons in your cupboard to where even Mason Rudolph can have success. Folks, look, and I know, let me speak real quickly to the Mason Rudolph signing, because I know there's a lot of Titans fans, including those in my text thread, my Titans text thread, that are not happy with that signing. It's not sexy, mainly because he has a dent in his forehead. But Jack, Mason Rudolph is a good free agent signing, just based off of the run he had late in last season. And did we already talk about this on the podcast? I already forgot. Or did we talk about this off the air? Because I don't remember what is up.
We hit Mason Rudolph.
In the podcast?
At the buzzer, we hit him.
Okay, then all of this is null and void. Calvin Ridley, my gosh.
Holy God. Yes,
I forgot.
Thank you, God.
I already forgot about the Derrick Henry era as a Tennessee Titans fan.
Yeah, right. Like if Tony Pollard wasn't enough, here's a Calvin Ridley for your troubles. Thank you very much, Jacksonville.
I just think, like, you have DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley on the same Titans offense. We went 2 decades without having an elite wide receiver. We 2 decades of this franchise without an elite wide receiver, and here they have 2 on the same field lining up opposite of each other. What is life? What is life?
Oh, yes. I can't believe it.
Oh, okay. Now we got to get out of here. Now this podcast is so long, but I don't care if they the Titans look if the Titans sign freaking I don't know huge splash signing tonight, Jack and I will jump back on this podcast. We'll make this podcast 8 hours long if we need to. If the Titans keep doing this, let Ran Carthon cook, and that message goes out specifically to Jared Stillman. All right, you who I look, I love Jared.
Save your Stillman hate for next week. Save it for next week. Well,
but my goodness, just let Ran cook. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. All right, gone are the days in JR we trust. Let Ran cook. With that said, follow Jack A. Gentry on Twitter. Follow myself on Twitter at Austin Huff, where you will see us. You will see our raging boners online at those two Twitter handles. Jack, I guess you got anything new for the road?
We're back.
Are the Titans back? People are asking. With all that said, until next week, and we mean it this time. Hopefully, unless they go and make another one. Tighten up.
Tighten up.
They're the Tennessee Titans. They're the Tennessee Titans.